Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Carpenter Shop. If we could all stand and worship him together.
Great are you, Lord. shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these moments will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts.
Sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free. my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit,
welcome here.
Come.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Come, Lord.
Flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
'Cause your glory,
your
comfortable, and he's taking me out of that comfort, and he's making me uncomfortable. But I can hear him telling me, I'm making you uncomfortable so you can grow, because when you're too comfortable, you're right there. You don't want to move. You're okay right there, but I don't want you to be okay right there. I want you to grow. I want you to expand. Words to me is more than just a song. I found peace in his presence. And even though I am comfortable in one situation, I do want to be uncomfortable for a second so he can move me, so he can use me. And I don't think that's just for me. I know it's not just for me. He wants you to grow. He don't want you to lean towards the thing of this world. He wants you to lean to him so you can grow. Struggling with it. This Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. 'Cause your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you
All we need is your glory. Just your glory, Jesus. All over this room, we ask for your glory to fall. Come on, right where you are, lift up your hands and begin to sing to the Lord and begin to ask for his glory. Keep singing that Kaiesia. Jesus, we need you. Oh, we need your glory. Oh, we need your glory. Fill this house with your glory, Lord. We're hungry. We're longing for more. Won't you descend in this place, oh God? Let your fire fall on us. Oh, 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 come, Lord Jesus, come. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. All we need is your glory, Lord. All we want is your glory. Come, take over our hearts. Come, take over our minds. Fill us with your glory. We're hungry for more. Jesus. I feel an anointing for a releasing of burdens right now. I believe that some of us in this room have been carrying a heavy weight, and I just feel God inviting us to let go of that thing, to let go of that weight, the responsibility that we think is all just on us, that we have to carry it all by ourselves and that we have to accomplish it by ourselves. God is inviting you, whoever you are, to release that to him this morning. He said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And as we exchange our yoke for his this morning, God gives us his presence. He gives us what is easy and what is light. And we exchange the burden for his beautiful, majestic, powerful, all-loving glory. His all-knowing glory. His omnipresent glory, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. And so as we sing this again, let us become more aware of your presence. I want to invite you to release that thing. If you need to come to the altar this morning, make your way down to the altar right now. Don't wait. But in whatever way you need to, experience God's glory. As we sing this again, let us become more of your presence. Let yourself become more aware of his presence. Amen. Come on, let's sing it. Let us become.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence.
Let us
become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your
goodness.
Let us become more aware of your presence.
All we need is your presence, Lord.
Let us experience the glory of your
goodness. Come, Lord Jesus, come. come on.
There's no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Father, we thank you for the joy of your presence. God, we thank you that there's nobody like you. Lord, we thank you for the way that you faithfully meet us here every week. That you remove our burdens, that we can lay them at the foot of the cross, and that we can receive your resurrection life in exchange. We thank you for your glory that resides within us. We thank you for your presence that changes everything. Nothing can stay the same. And so we receive your glory today. There's no place we'd rather be than here in your presence, here in your glory. Would you continue to speak to us? Continue to move in our hearts, oh God, throughout the rest of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a big hand of praise. You can be seated. Wow, isn't God good? Isn't his presence just amazing? Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. Thank you for joining us. If this is your first time with us, we want to invite you to meet us in the Welcome Center in the foyer after the service so that we can give you a personal welcome and a gift just make you feel right at home at Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad, wherever you are watching from, all across the world, thank you for being a part of our worship today. And at this time, we're going to show a video of what we have coming up in our church.
Have a drink with me. Not that kind of drink. But I do want you to know, on December the 10th at 5 p.m., we're going to be having apple cider. The sing-along. I was just trying to figure out, like, what can we do to get people more excited? I know people are going to show up. We got bus loads of people coming in from different places. So I'm excited, but I wanted this to be an experience that you won't forget. So we got the LED wall. We got the singing. We got the lighting. We got the music. We have, most importantly, the birth of Jesus. What else can we do to get people more excited? Apple cider. See you December the 10th. 5 p.m. Doors open at 4. I would definitely get here at 4 if I wanted a good seat. See you then. Have a great day.
So who's excited for the...
Just a follow-up to Rico's invitation.
Not yet.
Here on December the 10th at Carpenter Shop International Church for our Christmas sing-along. I'm excited to come together with you on that night for fellowship, for worship, for a time of connection together. As we move into the holiday season, I'm seated in the sanctuary, which I've had a privilege of being the pastor here for the last 32 years. The pews I'm sitting on were placed here in the 70s when this building was erected for the purpose of worshiping God. And we have a vision to change these pews to wonderful, comfortable, theatrical seats right here in the year 2024. I want to invite you to come prepared that night to worship the Lord, to give honor and glory to his name, to fellowship with the saints, and also to be prepared to give a special offering as we look toward renovation of this sanctuary, the provision of brand new seating, and we're excited about that one. Seats are $230 a piece. If you do the math, it's a great gift for Christmas, a great way to remember your King, Jesus Christ, as we do our best to fulfill his mission to touch this area and this region with the gospel message. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.
This Christmas, we are going to have a bash. A gingerbread bash, that is. What's a gingerbread bash, you ask? It's a party for Jesus, where you get to build a gingerbread nativity, play games, hear the Christmas story from the Bible, sing songs, and discover the greatest gift ever. It's going to be so much fun. So tell your parents to put it on the calendar and bring your friends too, because this is one bash you do not want to miss.
All right, I think it's safe. Who's excited for what's coming up in Carpenter Shop Church? Oh, we can do way better than that. Am I in Carpenter Shop today? So tonight, don't miss the Christmas sing-along. Don't miss the other events that we have going on. We want to celebrate Christmas together as a church. This week, I had a big to-do list, and I had some really important things going on. And one of those tasks was dependent on something else that just wasn't really part of what I normally do. And I had an individual this week who said, you know what? I can do that for you. And he did. It was something very small for him, but it made a big difference for me. And I could just see the joy in his eyes as he shared God's kingdom through his testimony, as we talked, and even through his generosity. And that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to be salt and light to the earth. Wherever we go, we can be a blessing to somebody. Even in a way that seems small to us, you never know how big of a difference it could make for somebody else. And when I said to this person, how much do we owe you? He said, oh, nothing. Nothing. He said, I tithe, and God tells me where to sow, and this is good ground. This is good ground. He believed in what we're doing as a church, and this year we've had dozens of people come to the Lord. So many, I've lost count. Where are we at now, Pastor? How many? Slightly over 100 people have gotten saved right here in Carpenter Shop International Church. And that's not counting the missions and the other events we've done in other parts of the world. Hundreds and hundreds of people getting saved through ministry that flows out of this house. And I am thankful. I don't know about you, but I am thankful to be a part of that. We have so many good things going on in this church. And so I said to this individual, I said, may God return to you your investment in his kingdom. And he just looked at me and he said, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. God rewards us when we give. 2 Corinthians says, if you sow bountifully, you will also reap. You will reap. You will also reap bountifully. And so, like this individual, I would hope that this morning we would have an attitude that gives generously and with expectation that God is going to bring a harvest from the seed that we sow into the ground this morning. And there are several ways to give. We encourage you to use the QR code on the screen. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comments section or in the description box, and you can make your way forward at this time. May God bless you as you give.
Of Jesus, that he will break every chain.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Every chain, to break every chain.
building. Only if you believe it, there is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
To break every
chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.
And there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Something without conflict. Peace involves that, but there's so much more. Peace is a restored state of wholeness. The birth of Jesus announces the arrival of peace, and the death of Jesus creates peace with God. And when the angels proclaim peace on earth, the shepherds heard what our hearts long to hear, that God is indeed restoring all of it to his original and glorious purposes. So may we experience that kind of peace. It's an invitation for every person, and it's here now because Jesus is here now. This is peace. Welcome to Christmas.
Come on, welcome to Christmas, y'all. Come on, welcome to Christmas. This is peace. Amen? Peace in your hearts. Peace in your hearts through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who came the first time in a manger. Results, here we go. Check this out. Results in peace in your heart. And then you can have peace with every other relationship you have. Okay? If you don't have peace in your relationships, you can trace it back to your own heart. Come on, y'all. You can trace it back to your own heart. What can I do? You say, I don't believe that, Pastor. Stick with me in the sermon today, and I'll share you the truths from God's Word. Today, we're in the second Sunday of Advent. The second one. Some call it the shepherd's candle. Others call it the candle of peace. Today, we light that candle, the second candle in the Advent series, the candle of peace. As we're lighting this right now, and Pastor Joy is going to lead us in prayer, think of a situation where there's turmoil in your life. Some of you won't have to think long. Think of a situation where there's confusion and you wish you had control of it, but you don't. And as she prays, would you offer up your prayer for the peace of God to come to your situation?
Right now, Father, we ask for calm across this congregation, across the people that are listening. Lord, just a stillness, a calm. For Father, we know that you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, soften our hearts. Quiet our brains, our minds, and allow us, Lord, to be still and hear your voice. Father, we thank you, Lord, for sending us peace. Even though the world is filled with turmoil, confusion, frustration, hurt, loss, grief, but Lord, you are our peace. And you will give us peace as we get closer to you. And Father, right now, in Jesus' name, allow us to feel your peace. Allow us to be reminded, Lord, that you came to us, a baby, went through a horrible death for us, for our forgiveness of sins, for our eternal life, and Lord, to give us peace. We thank you, Lord, for that today. We thank you, Lord, that we can lie down at night and sleep comfortably. We thank you, Lord, that we can walk through a dark parking lot, get in our car, knowing your peace is with us. Lord, we thank you, Father, that even though sometimes our finances are not right, our families feel like they're in strife and turmoil. Our job is frustrating, time-consuming. But Lord, you give us that inner peace. Allow us, Lord, to walk in that inner peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Thank him for his peace. Hallelujah. The peace of God that comes through right relationship with Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, a classic verse that literally embodies what we're talking about today. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Going to take a look in just a moment in the context of how that verse came about. But unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And check this out. And the government will be on his shoulders. Right now, the government is on whose shoulders? Help me. It's on our shoulders, isn't it? We've been trusted. Look, we've got kings. We've got presidents. We've got prime ministers all over the world. And the government of the earth is on whose shoulders? It's on our shoulders. But there's coming a day. I love the reality of the studies that we've been doing in the life of Israel and prophetic things that tell us, come on guys, that one day there's coming a day where all the government will be upon his shoulders. Look at your neighbor and say, no more Democrats, no more Republicans. Come on. All right. Some of y'all like that first part. I don't know what's going on there. No more Democrats, no more Republicans. The government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Here we go, Prince of Peace. You know, every night I get so tired. Sometimes I just quit looking at the news because every night I get tired of just, you know, shooting in this neighborhood, shooting in that neighborhood, a break-in, a school's been compromised, you know, during the day. The world is filled with so much turmoil. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when the Prince of Peace will rule and reign. He will rule and reign. And we've been talking about that. Of the greatness, verse number 7, of the greatness of his government. Check out now, talking about his government. And his peace, there will be no end. We talked about it just a few weeks ago, about that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ upon the earth. And then we shift over into Pastor Frank's category where it's a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming down the pike. It's coming. And we're getting closer and closer and closer to it every day we live. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God can do it, and he's going to do it. I cannot help but just hinge back in my mind of those things that I've been reading and studying for the past several weeks. So Isaiah's prophetic voice tells the people of that day, and I love this verse, Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 2. The people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light. How many of you have ever used that phrase, man, we saw a light at the end of the tunnel? You ever used that before? The people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light, because Isaiah has prophesied this government that's coming upon the earth. Isaiah has prophesied this Savior that is coming. Isaiah has prophesied this child that is being born. And so that's what the good news was. Isaiah's prophetic voice tells him that day, though you're walking in darkness, you've seen a great light. He foretells. He passes on God's truth. Messiah is coming. And this coming was his first coming. A Savior is coming. A light is dawning. Literally, peace, the Prince of Peace, being born unto Bethlehem. Happy birthday, Jesus. Come on, y'all. Happy birthday, Jesus. It goes like this. Come on, stand with me one time, would you? Let's act like a kid this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, it goes like this. Happy birthday, Jesus. Come on, don't you remember this? I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, but it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Come on, I think we can do that one more time. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad. Hallelujah. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsel and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the carols and bells make the holiday swell, but it's all about you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Come on, give him praise this morning. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We thank you, God, for being that child born in the manger, that child who came the first time to be the Savior of the world, who came to live and to die on the cross of Calvary, that we might have life eternal. And Lord, we thank you that though we feel so out of control, even in our own lives, even in our own families, sometimes we feel like we are so out of control in our world that we live in, so out of control. But Lord, we know that you are not caught off guard, because you are the God who's omniscient. You know everything. You're the God who's omnipotent. You are all powerful. And Lord, you're the God that's omnipresent. You are everywhere in this earth, and nothing is catching you by surprise. Lord, we take delight in that today, because you are the Prince of Peace. Come on, give him a hand clap one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, look at somebody and say, you got peace? Come on, ask them, you got peace? Praise the Lord. You can be seated. You can be seated. Such a glorious time to be in the local church worshiping God because of that peace, that message. Listen, guys, everything that we proclaim, this season is the culmination. This season is the culmination. Then we turn the corner. Here in just a few weeks, we'll turn the corner and we'll head down toward the Easter season, and we'll be on Calvary's Hill. It's just a beautiful time of year. Now we're talking about his birth. Isaiah the prophet, the man of God, check this out, who lived over 700 years before Jesus was born. He's the mouthpiece. You think about it, man, 700 years? 700 years. And the mouth of a man prophesies and says, the people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. There's a Savior that's coming. Wow. And the world was so confused. The world was so confused. The people of God, Israel, northern kingdom, had been carried away. Remember, they were taken captive by the Babylonians. They were captured, carted away some 500 miles from their homeland. They're carted away and they're in captivity. Then the southern kingdom of Judah is still down there behaving themselves all crazy. They're stuck in idolatry. They're just behaving with worshiping false gods and worshiping idols. And all of the evil and all of the idolatry exists. Nothing in the earth again but chaos and confusion and conflict about it. Remember, it had happened before in the days of who? The days of Noah. And what did God do? God said, hey, I'll take care of this. Turn the water on. Okay, it had never rained before. And so God turned the water from the heavens on. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and God destroyed all but a remnant who were left in a boat. And here we are again with chaos and confusion, with the earth filled with violence and ugliness and chaos and confusion. And questions would arise. How could the chosen people of God, how could they survive this with Assyria threatening? See, there's always been the point toward Israel. And Babylon's like a baseball batter on deck that would soon be a major threat to Israel. They were like an Iran in that day. And they were like a major threat to Israel, just standing there waiting, breaths getting deeper. And the further question would be this: in the midst of a nation that is responding to pagan ways, how would there ever be a righteous remnant to survive? Or would God simply do something that he'd done before, just destroy them all again? No, he wasn't going to do that. In the midst of this chaos and the confusion, in the midst of this conflict, this thundering voice comes from Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born." And everything changed, not instantly, but everything changed. Hope began to build. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll be called Mighty God. He'll be called Everlasting Father. He shall be called Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but it almost seems to me that we're living out the same scenario again. I mean, think about it. Guess what? Congratulations. You live in the only country in the world that just opens the doors and says, "Come on in. You can even get our benefits." Hey, wake up, Carpenter Shop. Come on, guys. You live in the only country. I've been to 35 in my life. And I always had to prove who I was, if I had the proper shots. Pastor Mike can tell you. I had to prove that I had the proper documentation to step inside your country. Some of them were not easy. Some of them you had to get a visa, pay a little extra money, had to get permission. Why are you there? Who are you going to see? Where are you going to sleep? What's the name of the hotel? What's the name of your friend? Who's picking you up? I mean, you got to give them every detail. But here in America, we've got borders right now that are letting all kinds of terrorists just flood into our country. And tell them as soon as they get over there and we get them checked in, "Oh, we got benefits." We're giving more benefits to people who are coming in illegally than we are to many of you that are sitting in this room right now. How many of y'all get benefits from, you know, how many of you get some free health care? Come on, anybody? This is a country that is just whacked. Something's happened with us. Something's happened with us. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We need to get back to the place where we are praying for revival to begin in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ so things can change, because we are the salt of the earth. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden. We need revival in the church so that we can impact our communities, so that we can impact our county, so that we can impact our state, so we can impact our nation, so we can once again impact our world for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need revival. You know, the Bible tells us that judgment is coming. Where does judgment begin? In the house of the Lord. So God's going to do some house cleaning. God's going to get some things in order. We feel so frustrated because we feel like here we are again in this nation and things are just gone crazy. Everything's gone crazy. How do you enjoy your trips to the grocery store? Anybody like that? You get your little bag, you know, and you got a half a dozen things in there, and, "Oh, that'll be $79.50. Say, "What? You look in the bag? What did I get?" Then you're looking at your slip saying, "What did I buy? What did I buy?" And then you got to get some gas on the way home, and you're thinking, "What is going on with this gas prices? This is a crazy nation right now. It's a crazy nation." We better get our eyes on Jesus, man. We better get our eyes on Jesus. Okay? I can promise you, yes. Yes, we've had some better times when other people were in the White House, but can I tell you, the answer is really not the White House. Okay? The answer is in the church house when people of God will call upon the Lord and he will answer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. The answer is the church of God. The church of God, the church of Almighty God. Yeah, we're in a mess. Almost feel like we're Israel all over again here. Chaos, confusion. But we've got to keep our eyes on the child that was born. The son that was given. Recognizing there is coming a day. Listen, hold out, church. Don't give up. Don't cash in. Don't cash in your faith. Don't give up because there's coming a day. And you know what? We've read the back of the book, and guess what? We win. We win. America was raised up a Christian nation. People of God, a nation founded on godly principles. You can even pull out your money and it reads on there, in God we trust. Okay? In God we trust. This nation, America, even produced her modern-day apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. God called men and women, proclaiming Jesus, stamping it on our money, sending our kids to school to stand up at the beginning of the day and turn to the corner. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We did that. We did that. I remember being in school, and after we did the Pledge of Allegiance, our Father who art in heaven, Miss Woodard, first grade, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We have kicked everything good we had out of our school system. And so we're raising up children right now and teaching them that there are so many other genders. You even have the right, little one, to choose your own. This is an America who is whacked. We'll probably get knocked off Facebook this week. Sorry about that, guys. We'll be back on in no time. It's just the truth. This is what America has done. We stopped honoring the flag of our nation. We stopped honoring the God of the Bible. And we became politically correct and tolerant. We tolerate stuff. God help us. We tolerate things. Oh, it's your choice. No, it's God's choice. He's made the choice for us. We welcome other gods. And in welcoming other gods, we have replaced our peace with chaos, confusion, and conflict. The very opposite of what peace is. In fact, our nation today is as confused as I've seen it in a long time. And this confusion, this type of confusion that we see today will truly only be solved at the second coming of the Messiah. You know, yeah, things can get better. Things can get better. We've seen them better. But it's only truly going to be really, really, really the way God intended it. When Zechariah 14 verse 4 comes, and he comes and he sets his foot down on the Mount of Olives, and the Kedron Valley splits, and Jesus Christ has come back to earth again. That's the only time we will know for sure that it's going to be the realm of peace. Armageddon will be won. Israel will be the victor. And the armies of the Lord. Y'all like riding horses? I do. I like to ride horses. And guess what? I've never ridden a white one. Come on, y'all. White boy, white horse. Come on. Never ridden a white horse. But we're going to be on horses, and we're going to defeat the armies that are against Israel. And forever and forever and forever, the government shall be on the shoulders of this baby that we celebrate in December. Y'all awful quiet for an excited church, I'm telling you. What is peace? Freedom, or a period of freedom, freedom from public disturbance. I listened to the news briefly this morning that in California they closed down a Target store, they closed down two or three other main retail stores because the crime rates are so high. The stores are seeing zero profits and nothing but theft and shootings and violence. In America. Think about this. Now we got self-checkouts everywhere that just lets people steal more. Okay? And you can take dogs anywhere because I need a service dog. I lost a few of you then. I'm sorry. Every dog's a service dog. Okay? Y'all are quiet this morning. Y'all okay? If you want to hit me now, okay? I'm a moving target. All right. Well, he's a service dog. What kind of service do you need? Come on, if you're blind, I get it. Well, I'm going through some trauma. Okay. Who's not? That's right. Who's not going through trauma? Who's not going through adversity? Who's not going through conflict? Welcome to the real world. Okay. Well, Pastor, you hurt my feelings talking about my service dog. Get over it. Get over it. Okay? What is peace? It's freedom from chaos and public disturbance, a quiet, a calm state of mind, and a lack of conflict. In fact, biblically, peace is defined 400 times in the Bible. The word is used, shalom. Shalom, peace of God, shalom. It means completeness, soundness, and contentment. And the word shalom, because it's added, you say, well, I've been to Israel, and they say that to you when they see you, shalom. That's because it has a twofold meaning. Here we go, don't miss this. It's peace with God, shalom, but it's also peace with my fellow man. Okay? Okay, it's twofold. It's also peace to a stranger. Okay? Pastor Mike could probably give us a lesson on country greetings. I just returned from Pakistan, and it was over the heart, man. It was, you know, and they call you boss. And I was like, dude, hey, boss. Hey, boss. Everybody called me boss. I think, wow, I finally am respected as the boss. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go back and tell Pastor Anoli, Pastor Ray, I'm the boss. Okay. But they called me boss the whole time I was there. And Pastor Mike, you can probably come up with others, but I know in India they give you this. They go back and forth like this, okay? So you got this, and we got all kinds of greetings. But shalom is twofold. It's peace with God first, and then peace in my human relationships. Don't jump out of the boat. Stay with me here. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since, listen to the word, let the word preach. Since we have been justified through faith, now we have what? Peace with God. Through whom? Through Jesus Christ. Now we have peace with God, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So Paul reminds us that we've been brought into this right relationship through this child that was born, who lived his life, died on the cross, shed his blood. We have peace with God through him, and we've gained access to it by faith. Even though we may not have peace in the U.S., Pastor, you just talked about what a whacked up country we live in, but now you're talking about the peace that you have in your heart. True, but guess what? Not everybody in America has it, okay? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we all had peace? If we all had peace in our hearts, if we all had peace in our homes, man, America would be the great utopia. This is the place to be, bud. Go to America. Everybody's nice. Nobody will steal from you. Everybody works hard. Okay? That's not true. How did we get this? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace You have been saved through faith. Talk about presence. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. God has given you and I this wonderful gift. And because of this wonderful gift of Jesus, this is the candle of peace, my friends. Because of this wonderful gift of peace, we're free from chaos in our own lives. We're free from confusion in our own hearts. We're free from conflict in our minds. I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to lie down at night and go to bed and to have peace in your heart. Not to lay in bed and worry and wonder. I wonder if I'm going to lose my car. I wonder about all these things. I wonder if my husband's going to leave me. I wonder if my wife's going to pack up and go. When you have peace in your heart, here's what shalom means. It means everything is intact between you and God and you and others. Shalom. And you and I, sitting in this room today, many of us, you know, I remember I could have easily stood here a season of my life and been a person who was not at peace. Not at peace at all. Just living for me. Living for the next moment. Living for the next experience. Running the streets of Raleigh. Doing things that I was trained in my household was totally wrong. But I was free, man. My daddy ain't around and he ain't gonna tell me what to do. I'm my own dog. I'm my own man. Okay? You know, the guy who told me this is how you're gonna cut his hair. This is how much money you can have. The guy who told me all these things. This is what you're gonna go to church. Dad, other youth don't go to church, but you're not other youth. That's what my dad told me. Dad, nobody goes to church on Sunday night. You do, he said. So I'm the only kid sitting in the church on Sunday nights. Did I want to be there? No. Didn't want to be there. But you know, somehow in the recesses of my heart, I'm glad I was there. I'm glad I was there because evidently something was deposited into terms of a seed called the Word of God that one day came to fruition. One day came to fruition. In the midst of a turbulent time of turmoil with me running the streets in Raleigh, I run into this Pentecostal girl from back home. Do you want to go out? You know the story. And once I began to be connected with another one of God's children, then that peace of God was introduced to me. Okay? So now I'm a child of God. I'm living for Jesus. I'm doing the best that I can to fulfill his call upon my life. You know, several of you could share 2 minutes of your testimony like I just did, and you could tell us how you came out of darkness into the light of the gospel. Come on, y'all. You could tell us moments in your life that you're not proud of. Come on, y'all. You could tell us moments in your life where you were cantankerous, where you were just a mess. Come on. Pastor, you wouldn't even believe me if I told you. Some of y'all would say that. Come on. But the reason that you can say that is because it is by grace you have been saved. I remember when Pastor Mike told me he smoked weed. I said, Pastor Mike, no. You did that? I remember the day he told me. I said, you said a moment ago that you smoked pot. I was like, man, shame on you. You shouldn't have done that. How many of y'all smoked any weed in here? Come on. Look at that. Look at that. How many of y'all drank alcohol and just got all out of the way? Come on. Look at y'all. God, what have you called me to serve? How many of you can tell me today, Pastor, I'm going to tell you what. It is by grace that I have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, and I rejoice at what God has done in my life. I have peace. I have peace. Wonderful peace flowing down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit. Come on, we got the peace of God. Pastor Frank, I'd like to hear a little smut on you. I'd like to know what your past was. Okay? Come on, y'all. Let's have a good time. Come on, Frank, 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 Frank. Come on, man. If I find out you got sin that I find out about, the church is going to know it, brother. Think about the goodness of God, guys. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Come on. Everyone went our own way, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant that Isaiah, that prophet of 700 years before Jesus was even on the scene, brought Christ into the world, and everything's changed. Romans 12, I got to share this with you. Romans chapter 12, Paul then shifts here to not just personal peace, but how peace ends up to manifest in the lives of the, here we go, the relationships that you have. And we got fathers, raise your hands, fathers, fathers. Wives who are sitting next to them or somewhere in the building, raise your hand. You got wives. You got mom, dad, you know. And you got Jim Bob, Mary Ellen, and all the other guys, the kids, right? How many of you families can say, man, our family's been through some stuff. Come on. We've had some tensions. Come on. Okay? We've had some tensions. We've had some conflicts. There was a season where, you know, we won't speak into one another. Listen, I know some of y'all's stories, okay? Come on, y'all. We've had some seasons where it just wasn't going well. Okay? But then you reckon that, you know, you look back and you say, you know what? But God brought us through it, man. God brought us through it. And we are close. We love each other, you know. And God has done it because God is the author, here we go, of peace. Romans 12, 13 to 18. Paul gives the church these short, succinct phrases, these one-liners, I call them, on how you are to keep peace with, here we go, others. Okay, first it's peace with God. And this is why I said earlier in the service, if you have peace with God, then you will not have the conflicts that you could typically have with others. And I said to you just a moment ago, if you have challenge in your relationships, you need to turn it all the way back to whose heart? Yours. Your heart. Because chances are there's something out of line in your heart. Paul says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. That means if I'm a Christian and I know that there's somebody who has a need, that I'm willing to reach into my pocket and I'm willing to give to other people who have needs. Practice hospitality, he says. Bless those who cuss you out. That's the Phillips translation, okay? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse, okay? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Are you seeing what's happening here? He's saying, I want you to enter into the lives of people wherever they find themselves, either happy or sad. I want you to get into their world. You're a Christian. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. You know, something's got to come out of your mouth other than, get a job. You ever seen somebody standing on the corner and say, yeah, right, that's a lie. You don't know what's behind the sign, bro. You don't. You don't know what's behind the sign. You don't know what's going on in the life of that person. You have no idea. Be willing to get involved. Be willing to associate with those. Don't be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. I'll tell you one thing. You wait, dog. Every dog has his day, bub. I'm on your trail. No, 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 no. Yo, no, no. Vengeance is whose? The Lord's. The Bible says what? He will repay. You just go right ahead and wipe your hands, wash your hands, wipe the dust off your feet. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Verse 17, Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. He says, I want you to live at peace with everybody. I've got some people in my life that I don't really, they're not my faves. Okay? Are y'all with me here? They're not my faves. You know? Not gonna have dinner with them, okay? In fact, I'll just be right honest with you. I even know some ministers of the gospel, not my faves. Okay? I may not like what some of them do, how they do their ministries, but you know what? As far as it is by me, my job, Wallace Phillips, is to do what? To live as much as possible at peace with these guys. Okay? Just live at peace with them. And don't get into conflict. Don't get into confusion. Okay? Live at peace with everyone. I think everyone covers just about everyone. Don't you? Well, you don't know what she did. I don't care what she did. As much as it is depends upon you, your part is to be a person of peace. Okay? Paul says, make every effort. No drama. Make every effort. In other words, some people, the only peace you find with them is just to cut them off. Cut them off from relationship. Well, you know what? It's quiet. I hadn't seen them in years. That's all well and good. Stay on your side of the street. I'll stay on mine. We'll let the sun come up. We'll both enjoy it. We'll let it go down. We'll have a good day. All right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some people you just can't have, you just can't mix and mingle with some people. And so you just, hey, God bless them. You know, Chris Rule, one of my former elders who's gone on to be with the Lord, he said you can say bless their heart and God loves it, okay? Well, you know what? He's a jerk, bless his heart, okay? No, you can't do that, okay? You can't do that. But it makes you feel better, don't it? Okay? Verses 19 to 21, as we come to a close here. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but just leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, he says, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, take him through the drive-thru. Okay? All right. I want to pay for the person behind me. Okay, okay. There's a proper way to do this, y'all, okay? I want to pay for the person behind me. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, you choose peace. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You received that child that was born. You have in your heart that son that was given. You allow him. He says he's going to govern the world. Right now, you're allowing him to govern your life. And that's why you choose to do the right thing. Not always the way you feel, but you do the right thing. Because he is your counselor. He is your mighty God. And on this second week of Advent, he is your Prince of Peace. Peace with God. I love this. And peace with others. Sometimes, Pastor Joy, I love the way she handles things. Sometimes we've had some conflict, and this is so cool. Some of you ladies ought to try it, okay? This is so cool. We'll have some conflict, and she'll say, you know, hours will pass by, and now we're back on speaking terms. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Okay. And then she'll say something like, don't you want to say anything? And I say, but what are you talking about? You know, don't you want to say something to me? You fishing, bro. You fishing, man. I say, okay. I'm sorry, Joy. And then she'll wacka wacka. You should be sorry, you old rascal, you. Gotta love her, man. I love her to pieces. Come on, give Pastor Joy a hand today. Gotta love her. Gotta love her. So cool. Peace with God. You better watch out, Hersey. She's gonna try that on you, man. I see it coming right now. Hersey, don't you want to say something to me? Pastor Joy Almaker got a whole bunch more social media followers just right there. Peace of God, guys. Come on. Anybody here today, you're sitting here on this second Sunday of Advent. To you, it's like, they lit a candle. Pastor talked a little bit about peace. But you feel in your heart that there's something missing in your heart, and you know it. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. Pastor, pray for me. Just slip your hand up quickly. Come on, hand up quickly. God bless you. Someone else? God bless you. God bless you. Pastor, God bless you. Look at the hands going up. Anyone else? God bless you. Peace in your heart. Ministers, please help me here. I'm going to bring you some people here. Thank you for your honesty. Come on, give them a hand, y'all. Thank you for your honesty. Something missing in my heart. Because here's the thing that will change. Today it will change. You leave here today with a different feeling in your heart. And here's the benefits. And the relationships that you're a part of are going to improve. Because you got to the heart of the matter. Bless your heart, man. I didn't even say come on down. Here they go. They go coming. Hey, come on. If you raised your hand, just come on right quickly. Come on. Just raise your hand. Going to get things in order. Come on, y'all. Give them a hand of appreciation today. People coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Look at that. People coming to faith in Jesus today. I need peace, Pastor. I need peace. I need the peace of God. Look at that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right here, guys. There's the sharpest preacher in the house, Pastor Bernie. He'll help you out. Hallelujah. Oh, Merry Christmas. God is so good. Go ahead, sing it, guys.
Your love was greater.
on, y'all. Souls are coming to faith today. Let's stand up and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. People making decisions to embrace the Prince of Peace today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just worship Him. Kingdom.
Yours is the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name.
Give honor to the Lord today for those who made commitments to faith in Christ. I want to ask you to be seated for just a moment. We got another short video clip, and Pastor Joy is going to come and give you an opportunity today to join the partnership of women all across the U.S. And we do this every year, and it's such an exciting thing. So let's have the video as Pastor Joy comes.
Central and Southern Asia, Europe and Africa are stunning continents with rich history, beauty, and culture. But right under the surface is a heinous yet lucrative industry that is growing faster than anything you can imagine. Sex trafficking and sexual exploitation. In some cultures, they're born into prostitution by virtue of their gender. For other young girls, they've been sold by their families due to extreme poverty. Still, others have been taken or tricked into accepting fake jobs and trusting traffickers who lead them down a wicked path to slavery. Night after night, they are put on the streets, in brothels and clubs to make money for their abusers. They are now at risk for disease, physical danger, and emotionally scarred. They have no hope and no way out. Who will rescue them? Through the Ministry of Project Rescue, women are finding freedom. For 25 years, Project Rescue has provided homes, vocational training, trauma counseling, direct intervention, awareness, and prevention education. They offer culturally informed, holistic care to courageous survivors. Dr. Beth Grant, founder of Project Rescue, says, "If evil people can work together for the purposes of sexual exploitation, why can't good people, God's people, work together to bring hope and freedom? As we give, pray, and go, we will light the way."
Can you imagine a world free from sexual slavery, where courageous women and children can live in freedom as fully empowered daughters and sons of God? As we partner together with Project Rescue, you can be part of the solution. An African proverb says, "If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together." By linking arms all across this nation with one mind and heart, I believe that we will go farther and reach more young girls than ever before. We will help find them. We will help rescue them. And we will help them on their journey to full restoration, body, mind, and spirit. So what can you do? What can we do together? Could you help to rescue and restore one woman, 10 women? Or thousands, perhaps? Would Would you join me in believing God that AG Women will raise $1 million this year? Together, we can bring hope and freedom into some of the darkest corners of the world. With God, all things are possible.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think it's important that we realize that this doesn't just reach people in foreign countries. As Pastor said a few weeks ago in one of his messages, the United States is included in the top three countries for sex trafficking. I have a coworker from years ago whose daughter went missing, and she was called 2 years later and told that they had found her, but they could not get her. But they knew where she was. I stay connected with her on Facebook, and she's lived. She continues to go to work every day. She's raising her son. But there are times that she will put things on Facebook, and because I know behind the scenes, I know why she's saying those things. I know why she's saying, you know, be careful. Watch your kids. This is the worst time of the year. Because she has experienced that loss. Hers happened through computer and getting to know somebody, social media. So today, you may be sitting there and you may know people as well whose child went missing. We assume they run away. You know, we assume they may be on drugs. We assume all kinds of things. But how many of them were retrieved through sex trafficking, through lies? And today it just burdens my heart that they're trapped in a world that is not fun. They're trapped in a world that is not good. They're trapped in a world that unless somebody rescues them, they will stay until their death. And I have hope. When I give my dollars, I say, God, it might be her daughter that gets rescued. It may be the person beside her daughter that gets rescued. So today, I ask you to join hands with the Assemblies of God women, every church, all of our churches pull together and really encourage women to give to light the way. Beth Grant has been in this for years and years and years, long before I ever heard the words sex trafficking. She was already rescuing women. So today, if you'll give, so you can come forward, drop your money in the baskets.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Joy. Make your way forward. Your buckets are on the altar. Give what you can. We partner with other AG churches all across the U.S. and we give to a confidence that peace can come. Beth Grant, I know you know the Grants, my friend. The Grants were instrumental in the very first efforts to reach the abused women of India. And Project Rescue is still going on today. Project Rescue, snatching those females out of a life of sex trafficking. So thank you for every dollar today that you've given to help in that tremendous endeavor. Let's stand together. And I would ask you that as soon as we close out the service, that you would take your fellowship and your connection. I know we always like to talk to people, speak to people. Just quickly exit the sanctuary if you could, because our team for this evening has to do a quick run through. So they would appreciate an empty room here, and that would help us out a lot. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you today, God, with gratitude. We're thanking you, Lord, for the Prince of Peace that has visited this room today, that's touched hearts today, that has called people out of darkness into the light of the gospel. I speak peace and blessing over everyone. Lord, I pray that you would take us from this place today, keep us safe and in your care. And Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, 5 o'clock this evening, bring your friends with you, would you, to the sing-along. God bless.